Good morning. My name is John Waits, and I'm the honorary curate here at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. This is the Book of Common Prayer Holy Communion service for the Sundays after Easter up until Pentecost. We start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy strength, and all thy mind. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. The Collect for the Sovereign. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Charles, our King and Governor, that he, knowing whose minister he is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all his subjects, duly considering whose authority he hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey him in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Now we have the Collect. The Lord be with you, and thy spirit. Let us pray. The Collect for the sixth Sunday of Easter. God, our Redeemer, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that as by his death he has recalled us to life, so by his continual presence in us he may raise us to eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
The first reading is from Acts. It's Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, To an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. For one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord according to John, chapter 14, beginning at the 15th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we have the sermon.
Good morning. Dave and I are both going to talk to you today about today's readings. Interestingly, when we both read them at home, we got very different ideas and thought processes from these readings. And being that our ideas don't seem to be in conflict with each other, we decided to give you both sets of thoughts in the hope that there's something out there for everyone. So, firstly, let's talk about the Acts reading. Paul is in Athens, and he's been forced out of both Thessalonica and Berea, where he'd been talking to people of Jewish faith. He's waiting for his friends Timothy and Silas to join him. And during this time, he's had time to reflect, and he's had time to look around, and he's had time to observe the people of Athens. And so he's now talking to the people of Athens, but they're a really completely Gentile audience. These people are neither of Jewish faith or Christian converts yet. He's observed that they're devout people. There's lots of statues and shrines to lots of different Greek gods. And he's even, in his travels, observed an altar that states it's to the unknown God. And Paul is saying he's got the answer for these people, that the people of Athens should respond to their deep inner longing, that search, and find the one true God. Paul's message is that they're already worshipping in ignorance that unknown God that is in fact the Creator God, that God does not dwell in man-made shrines, because God created everything on heaven and earth. Therefore, he doesn't need to be contained, and he certainly doesn't need man-made creations. Paul calls on the people of Athens to repent. In the early versions of the Bible, it used the words metanoia, which means to change one's life, resulting in either penitence or spiritual conversion. And this comes from the Greek word metanoin, which means to change one's mind. Paul is telling the people of Athens that they need a transformative change of heart. Paul ends by saying that the time of ignorance is over, now it's a time of repentance, and put simply, once you know the truth, you cannot hide behind excuses anymore. He concluded his thoughts with that his God overlooks everything, he commands everything, he's already set the day of judgment, and he's provided proof through the resurrection. Now you could argue, why is that relevant to us? We're already here. We've come and been in this space today because we're already followers of Christ. We've had our time of confession during this morning service, and we're shortly going to share the words of the Declaration of Faith together. So rather than the rather unsettling prospect of a preset day of judgment, in what ways is this relevant to us? Maybe I'm talking to the wrong people. There's lots of people in the wider society, like the people of Athens, who want answers. They search for spirituality, they search for information. They're worshipping at the wrong places, but they've got a deep inner longing, they just haven't found the answer yet. Or maybe, as Christians, we also know the theory, but we haven't had our metanoia yet, our complete penitence, our spiritual conversion. However, maybe, as people who already know and accept God, the second John reading is more relevant to us today. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So what are those commandments? Well, this appears both in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Jesus says, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And secondly, "Love thy neighbour as thyself." Right, we're agreed, we're all followers of Christ. Have we managed those commandments fully? Every single day. Well, John's passage is really reassuring to us. Jesus admits he's going to have to leave his disciples, but he says he will not leave them as orphans. He promises them a helper, and he calls it the Spirit of Truth, or as we probably know it now, the Holy Spirit. He promises that everyone who loves him will be loved by the Father, and the Spirit of Truth will be made known to him. So we've been given two readings. The first points out that God is creator of all things and has already set out a preordained day of judgment. And the second reading promises us help, that if we follow God's commandments, we will have the support and encouragement of the Holy Spirit. But how do we actually do that? Well, when I was researching for this talk, I came across a checklist, which I thought was quite helpful, so I'm going to share it with you. Now, the first of them is to, put the Lord first. Focus your thoughts and lives on him. Secondly, let me see if I can get it right for the camera this time. Keep the covenants. Obedience shows your love of God. Thirdly, reach out to others. Find ways to serve and be Christ-like. And lastly, spread the gospel. Share the knowledge we found. Now, these are all really big thoughts, but I personally like practical and achievable steps. And number three, the idea to reach out to others, to find ways to serve and be Christ-like, fits really, really well with the fact that this is Christian Aid Week. This is a charity whose strapline is that they believe in life before death. And from their website, I found the statement, "We seek to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, who commanded his followers to love their neighbour and to work towards a better world. We stand with the most vulnerable and excluded people of the world, both in times of crisis and for the longer term." Now, the help from this charity doesn't come with a hidden agenda. Their help is freely given, regardless of race, of faith, or of gender. And it's done in the name of Christianity, in the name of Jesus Christ. To this charity, everyone is equal in the sight of God, and everyone is worthy of help. Christian Aid aims to eradicate extreme poverty by tackling its root causes, and their key words are equality, dignity, justice, and love. So even if we achieve nothing else today, maybe we should get involved in Christian Aid, either by supporting them financially or finding ways to contribute our time towards them. None of us have all the answers, but working with a proven, effective charity that is continuing Christ's work on earth has got to be a good place to start. On that note, I'm going to pass you over to David, who's also going to share his thoughts with you about today's readings.
Good morning. George Burns, an American actor and comedian with whom I share a birthday, albeit separated by 83 years, said, "The secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and have the two as close together as possible." With this in mind, I mean to be brief. As Kat has said, we're taking a slightly different approach with today's readings, and my theme is very much that of change. Last week, the country recognised the coronation of Charles III, and many people put forward their views on an event that for many of us had not taken place in our lifetimes before. I work at a school, and like many schools, there was an opportunity to recognise the significance of the occasion. The head, speaking to the children, considered that it should be placed along other one-off events, defining events of her lifetime, such as the assassination of John Lennon or 9/11. The point here is not always about the magnitude of the event itself, although certainly that can be huge too. It is rather about the context and the background in which such events occur, and the need to determine how our lives and communities have developed and evolved over those times. In the instance of the coronation, it was easy to draw parallels with that of Queen Elizabeth II. So within a Christian context, and given that things are changing, are we now closer to ushering in God's kingdom than we were in 1953? I'm not expecting an answer, but perhaps one to ponder. In our Acts reading, Paul speaks to the people of Athens and presumably references the Greco-Roman gods of antiquity. Interestingly enough, he evolves that understanding, their existing understanding, by using the unknown God, rather than simply try to tear down their existing beliefs. Now, of course, we can ask the question, where are these great gods of Athens now? Jupiter or Zeus, Hera or Juno, or even Athene or Minerva? They still grace the pages of Homer or Virgil, or you can find them in cartoons or computer games. That they fell away a long time ago from serious religion. For those Athenians that Paul found himself with, looking for guidance and explanation, things have changed greatly. Of course, in a few weeks' time, we welcome our own guide to explain and unlock. Hannah joins us at the end of the month, and so as a church community, we enter a period of change once more. No doubt Hannah will have ideas and fresh ways of looking at things, and we should be ready to listen and to adjust. I wonder what unnecessary equivalents of the Greco-Roman gods we might be holding on to. We should be prepared for the scenery to change and to travel down new pathways. How we navigate these pathways is not easy, and not every step may feel secure. However, our reading from John explains exactly what we must do and why, and of course, once again, it involves change. A change that puts into perspective the change of a rector or a king or a whole culture. The arrival of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and our lives expresses a shift in our relationship with God, no longer a far-off king or a God to whom sacrifices might occasionally be made, not even a spiritual leader, but rather the God that dwells within you and me now and forever. I wonder about the coming of the kingdom of God. I wonder if an idiot like me can even begin to comprehend the journey it might take, and the twists and the turns that might be there. I also wonder that whilst the living God resides within each one of us, and we continue to reach out to do his works through groups such as Christian Aid and so many others, then actually at those moments, and in ways which we cannot fully understand or imagine, perhaps his kingdom is already here. We have just not fully realised it yet. I started with a quote, and I'll finish with a quote, this time from Max Lucado, an American preacher, who said this: "You can endure change by pondering his permanence. You can endure change by pondering his permanence." And I wish you that blessing now. Amen.
For our church notices, please have a look at the church website, but also, very, very important, make a note in your diary of May the 30th, where we have the institution of the Reverend Hannah Gordon as the rector of Chipstead. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Come to the intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee continually to inspire the universal Church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and specially thy servant Charles, our king, that under him we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto his whole council and to all that are put in authority under him that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we must humbly beseech of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. Let me just take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. And a prayer for our rector that we're going to be saying, I hope, through till May the 30th. We praise and thank you, loving God, for sending us Hannah to be our rector. May she pastor us, teach us, and lead us, that together we may be your people and this parish a sign of your kingdom. As she prepares for this new challenge, prepare us also to receive her, that together we may know your will for us in the parish of Chipstead, and by your grace respond with eager joy to the challenge of the future. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make a humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs unto thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. When he gave thanks, he brake it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he gave them thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this remembrance that Christ died for thee, and be thankful. Amen.
The blood of Christ given for you.
Amen. As our Lord Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious death and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we must humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. We come to the Gloria. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love, be with you today, and remain with you always. Amen.